What a surprise. Don't you think? A surprise. Surprise pregnancy. I'm sure it was true for all those involved, for Zechariah and Elizabeth and for Mary and for Joseph. The news was a baby's on the way. Some of you may have had that same surprise. A baby's on the way. It began with Zechariah on the day he was to be Israel's priest, a once-in-a-lifetime privilege. Quite an honor. He was to enter the holy sanctuary. He was to offer incense as a prayer offering for the people. And the whole assembly was going to wait outside the temple for Zechariah to return and then speak to them from the sanctuary steps. And the words that he was to speak was Aaron's benediction. Perhaps you know it. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May the Lord give you peace. Now, that's what was supposed to happen. But something else happened. Changed his life. It began a series of events that would change the world. You see, Zechariah entered the sanctuary and an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And when an angel of the Lord appears to you, there's a natural response that everyone in the Bible, and probably you would have as well. They become terrified. But the angel said to him, as angels always say, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard." You see, Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were on in years. Scripture tells us they were blameless in God's sight. They lived lives of righteousness, and their only sorrow was that they did not have any children. It was an old sorrow. They had longed for years to have a child. I don't know, perhaps through the years it softened, but on occasion I'm sure the sadness would come back to them and pierce through them. They had no children. Always without warning, the sharpness took over their lives. They wanted so badly to have a child to love. And yet, no child had been given. It's a cruel fantasy, isn't it? To believe, to hope, that one day you'll be given a gift of a child and never receive it. But on this day, the angel brought some astounding news. Zechariah, your prayer's been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. Now, I wonder how long had it been since the lips had dared to utter that prayer, a prayer for a child. You know, after a while, you pray and you pray and you pray, and then you give up, don't you? I wonder if they'd given up. Stop praying. Clearly now, it wasn't going to be an option for them. They were too old. And the angel went on to say, "You'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. With the spirit and the power of Elijah, he will come and make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Could it be Zechariah, a father? So have you ever had one of those moments? I mean, just been completely surprised by something that God does. Have you ever reached the place where you thought, "The tide will never turn for me"? And then it did. Have you ever been to that place where you just gave up your dreams for dead? It'll never happen. I don't know why I even hoped, believed, prayed. And then it was as if the prophet Gomer Pyle showed up and said, "Surprise, surprise, surprise." Right?
Not?
And all of a sudden, God did something that you had given up on, thought that God could never do. Or maybe you're still waiting. Maybe you've given up waiting. Too many disappointments. I mean, too much pain. Dashed hopes, hope beyond lostness. I mean, hope has become another profane four-letter word. You don't hope for anything anymore. And if an angel from heaven shows up in your church or in your home and told you your dream was coming true, you'd probably respond in the same way that Zechariah responded in the news of Elizabeth's pregnancy. You wouldn't believe it. Can't be. You see, Zechariah didn't believe it. He couldn't trust his senses. I mean, was he out of his ever-loving mind? An angel shows up and tells me that I'm going to have a son. Are you kidding me? That can't happen, won't happen, and I don't believe you, even if you are an angel. Do you expect me to believe this? He said, this can't be. My wife is on in years, and so am I. I'm no Romeo anymore, and it's just not going to happen. Zechariah speaks out of self-defense. Why would one do that when given such good news? Because who wants to get disappointed again? Right? Have you been there? It's where Zechariah was. But the angel seemed to have no compassion with Zechariah's disbelief. He said, I've been sent to bring you this good news, but because you don't believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you shall be unable to speak until the day of promise comes. Kathleen Norris, one of my favorite writers, I encourage you to read any of her works. God's response to Zechariah is to strike him dumb during the entire term of his son's gestation, giving him a pregnancy of his own, she writes. Was the angel being cruel? I don't think so. But I think he was teaching Zechariah a lesson. Never give up on God. Never give up on God. Because you see, God will never give up on you. Never. I'm aware that today's stories may be painful to those of you who hope for a child of your own. It may still be your hope, but your unfulfilled hope in the face of these stories perhaps makes you angry. No doubt Zechariah and Elizabeth understand your pain and your anger as well. More than that, God knows your pain and understands it as well. The biblical stories of barrenness giving way to pregnancy are, I think, difficult for people who don't have children but want children to hear. I do not believe that God strikes women and men with inability to bear children. I don't believe God determines who has children and who doesn't. In the mystery of conception and life, at times there are factors that we can and cannot explain that keep pregnancy from happening. Very little can replace having a child when that's something you long for. Sometimes our hope is so desperate we're searching for a reason to live. Whatever your hope, I would ask that you learn something from this story. Maybe dangerous and painful as holding on to hope. That's all we have sometimes, isn't it? I think life without hope is more dangerous for everybody. And with God, there's always a reason. Zechariah and Elizabeth return home from the temple. The Bible uses discretion only to say that after those days, Elizabeth conceived and for 5 months remained in seclusion. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel, who had appeared earlier in the temple of Jerusalem, now comes out to the country, to a small town in Galilee named Nazareth. And there lived a young teenage girl, about 14 years old, a virgin named Mary, betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. Betrothal was more binding than what we call engagement today. It lasted 1 year, and then the husband would take his wife to his family's home for the wedding and the consummation of the marriage. So solemn were the vows at betrothal that if a man died sometime that year, he was still considered married to his wife. And if either of them took up another person during this time of betrothal, it was considered adultery. Mary was betrothed to Joseph when an angel appeared to her with these words, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And in good liturgical fashion, she says, "And also with you." Not quite. Mary, like Zechariah, was perplexed, was frightened, and the angel said to her, just as he said to Zechariah, what did he say? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. Eugene Peterson translates this text, "Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you." And the angel goes on to say, "You shall conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus, and he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said, "How can this be? I am a virgin. This can't be." First a barren woman, now a virgin. Surprise, surprise, surprise. The angel said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be holy and be called the Son of God." And Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the same Spirit that moved across the face of the deep and created the heavens and the earth moved across this young girl named Mary and created a child of heaven and earth named Jesus. Which means God will save us. And the angel had told Mary of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So Mary sets out with haste to go to cousin Elizabeth's house, enters the house and greets Elizabeth. And I can't read the text without remembering the scene from the movie Jesus of Nazareth. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to. It's an old movie. Mary and Elizabeth meet each other for the first time, and the angel's appearing, and Mary greets her, and Elizabeth feels her baby leap in the womb. John the Baptist is already wanting to prepare the way for Jesus. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. When you greeted me, Mary, the child wept in my womb for joy." Knowing that Mary and Elizabeth had gotten together, we can only hope that Joseph and Zechariah got together. Don't you hope that? I do. I hope that Joseph and Zechariah also got to talk. Well, Zechariah couldn't say anything, but Joseph could. Because I think Joseph probably had a few questions, don't you? Zechariah, well, he couldn't say anything. God's got the cat, got his tongue. God the cat got his tongue, I guess, right? But Zechariah is going to need someone he can talk to about all this. And Joseph is going to need somebody to talk to about all this too. Mary remained with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And the time came for Elizabeth to give birth. She gave birth to a son. And on the eighth day, according to Jewish custom, the baby came to be circumcised and named. And everyone was sure his name would be Zechariah. Why would that be? That's what you're supposed to do. But his mother said, no, he's to be called John. No one in the family was named John. We can't call him John. His name should be Zechariah. So they turned to Zechariah. God's cat still holding on to his tongue. He motions for a writing tablet and says, his name is John, which means Yahweh has given grace. And all of them were amazed, and Scripture tells us immediately Zechariah's mouth was opened and he could speak. And when he spoke, he praised God. Something was going on of a nature they knew not, and the news of what had happened was being talked about all through the countryside. They were wondering among themselves, what will this child become? And Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to sing this song, holding up his boy. He said, you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercies of our God. The dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Some of the most beautiful words, Zechariah's song. We hear Mary's song. Zechariah, the mute priest, is now singing songs of hope about the God of surprising hope. And we learn from people like Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna that sometimes we have to wait on the Lord. Sometimes it doesn't happen as quickly as we would like. We have to wait on the Lord and never give up. Never. Henry Nouwen says, waiting for God, in his book, Watch for the Light, they and their ancestors before them had been waiting for the hopes to be realized. God's promise of salvation and redemption, and finally it was. What are you waiting for? What are you hoping for? I've got good news this Christmas. God hears your prayer. May not happen in the same time that you would like for it to happen, or in the same way, but God hears your prayer. Never stop praying. Never give up on God. This is the place where we put our trust and our hope and our faith in the one who has never and will never give up on us. We come together this morning and we await the night. Because tonight, all our hopes and fears will be met in Bethlehem. The giver of love and hope and joy and peace. Let's pray. Gracious God, we turn to you. For some of us, hope is a distant friend. We pray this Christmas that you might plant within all of us a seed of hope and love and joy and peace. Give us a surprise pregnancy of sorts to give birth to grace, new life, courage, faith. Help us to see the new thing that you are doing in our lives, even now. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.